Now, last week we took you to Kangaroo Island, just 16 k's off the coast of South Australia, where we met some of the local food and wine producers hit hard by last summer's bushfires. Those fires destroyed nearly half the island. Grapes, figs, olives, they were not the only things affected by the fires. About 50,000 koalas succumbed to the flames. Platypuses are now hard to find, as are endangered glossy black cockatoos. Also missing are thousands of a rare strain of Ligurian bees. But as reporter Catherine Zengara finds out in part two of her story from KI, local producers are making the most of the situation.
Our bees were predominantly sighted on the western end of the island, which is mostly burnt now. We lost over 500 hives.
Brenton Davis and his dad Peter run Island Beehive, producing organic, raw, unfiltered honey.
So those sites actually won't be any good for honey production for a long time now. It takes a long time for the eucalypts particularly to grow back big enough for them to flower and produce nectar. It can be up 7 to 10 years for some species.
Kangaroo Island is home to the purest strain of Ligurian bees in the world. Known for their placid nature and productivity, the bees were introduced from Italy and arrived on the island about 1885. The island is considered a bee utopia because they mostly feed on native flora and are free of most diseases. Sadly, about half of the island's 4,000 timber beehives, made more flammable by beeswax, were damaged in the bushfire.
Can you describe for me that landscape as you drive through Flinders Chase National Park on the west side of Kangaroo Island, which is the area that was pretty much totally burnt out?
Yeah, and there's lots of black sticks, but there's also lots and lots of regrowth. It's all coming back. Yeah, because of the lack of foliage high up in the trees, you can actually see a lot further from the road than normally. So you can see all the landscapes and the hills and valleys. It's amazing. People should really take advantage of it. It's not going to be like that for very long, and you won't be able to see more than 10 feet off the road again.
It's quite spectacular in a strange way, isn't it? It's like this very alien landscape, and with the yakkas who've all sent up these giant leaning green shoots.
The yakkas are certainly impressive. It's the first plant that starts growing after the fires. It's the first plant to flower after the fires. They look spectacular. They've all got their huge flowers. Some of them are more than 6 metres high.
With over 200,000 hectares, that's nearly half the island, burnt in the bushfires, flora for the bees to feed on is sadly lacking. Undaunted, Brenton Davis has come up with a novel solution.
Yeah, so we're trying to get some yakka honey. So the xantharia, or the grass tree, flowers after fire. And we've just put some hives back there. It's pretty hard to get that honey because there's nothing else flowering there. So we've put really strong hives and we're hoping to get some yakka honey from it. It's a very intense flavour. It's beautiful, and it's a one-off opportunity. You don't often get this many yakkas flowering all at the same time.
You've had a sneak taste of this yakka honey, haven't you? What's it like?
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. It's not for the faint-hearted. I don't expect that we'll get very much of it. Like I said, it's pretty difficult to get.
When you say it's not for the faint-hearted, give us a bit of a sense of the flavour.
It's quite a strong flavour. It's quite a thick honey and just a very intense flavour. I'm not going to give too much away. Just kind of wait and see what comes.
The yakka honey is just one of the ways locals are turning what has been a tragedy for Kangaroo Island into an opportunity. I'm heading over to the east of the island, which escaped the terrifying bushfires, but where local celadores were hit hard by the sudden switch of COVID, turning away the tourists they depend on for their income. Dudley Wines is a family-run business that's been operating since 1997, and they're in the most spectacular location. I'm meeting with family member Tam Bailey.
First of all, Tam, wow, what a view. This is incredible. Do you want to tell us what we're looking at right here?
Yeah, it's a pretty special spot where we've set our cellar door up. We're overlooking the Backstairs Passage to mainland Australia and, yeah, down a big gully and out to sea.
This is the only cellar door, to our knowledge, that looks at Australia. We cheekily call that the North Island over there. We can get away with it.
Ray Hill has been working with them for the last 5 years, but on the island for 20. Ray is quite the talker and is taking me through a wine tasting.
Shearing Shed Red, the very first wine ever made on Kangaroo Island, is our blend. The owner denies the story, but he made, pressed, bottled and labelled his first wine in a shearing shed. And someone said, you're doing a Shiraz Cabernet blend. And Jeff said, no, I'm doing a red, hence the name Shearing Shed Red. When I originally got to this island, it was sold in a six pack and they were 1.5 litre bottles. So basically flagons like this. That was to get the numbers out there.
Ray, how would you say the wine industry has really changed in the last 20 years on Kangaroo Island?
On Kangaroo Island, it's got a lot more professional. Sadly, there's only 4 cellar doors, but 26 vineyards. So most of the wine actually goes, all the grapes go off to the mainland. I know this year quite a bit of Riesling is going off to Clare Valley. They had a bad year like that. It's got better. And also every year you put a vine in, I class our vineyards here, unlike the Clare Valley and McLaren Vale, they've got good soils. Here we don't. We have really bad soils. So our vineyard's over by the ocean. So there's really cold wind for about 9 months of the year. The next place is the South Pole. So it's really extreme. Soils are really poor. Lots of limestone. But our vines have gone through the limestone to the water table. They water themselves, which is really good for us. So I always say a 1 year of growth on Kangaroo Island is about 8 to 10 years of Barossa, because we don't have good soil, so it's harder. Wines love conditions to be really hard for them. We were lucky at this end. We weren't affected by the fires. It was all at the other end. We smelt more smoke from the Adelaide Hills fires here. It was really interesting because of the way the sea breezes were working. But our industry just stopped here. It's the busiest part of the year and it just stopped. Then we went through that book them out period, which was fantastic. Everyone turned up.
So this was the tourism campaign to encourage people to come after the bushfires?
Yes, to support all the local businesses. And we were just packed. We're the busiest we've been, and then COVID hit.
Tam Bailey says while visitor numbers are booming again now, that wasn't the case just a few months ago.
Tourism basically stopped when the fires were on, and then the aftermath as well, after the fires when no one could get to Flinders Chase and to the parks. So yeah, it took a while for tourists to start trusting that they could come back and there was still something for them to look at, even though the parks had so hugely burnt. And then yeah, with COVID, so we shut for I think it was about 3 months we were shut, and thankfully since we've opened back up again, it's just been absolutely manic with South Australian visitors, which has been fantastic.
Not far from Dudley Wines is another ideal tourist spot. Named after a local landmark where many whaling ships came to grief is False Cape Wines. Julie Hellier and her husband Jamie spent 4 years building their cellar door out of local stone. It was their dream come true when they opened on December 14 last year. Just 5 days later, the bushfires started.
Yes, there was a bit of a panic about have we got enough insurance in case we got burned, because we also had lightning strikes in the conservation park behind our vineyard. So when the fires kept going and they didn't get put out down there, and just the devastation that we saw, that people that we knew and farmers down the other end of the island, the western end, it was just surreal really, to be living through that time of we were fine down here and tourists coming in, and just watching Facebook and the news about how bad the fires were. So it made us feel really lucky that we were still able to operate.
Like other businesses on the island though, it was COVID rather than the bushfires which forced their shutdown.
Which I guess for us in a way, because we were new, it did give us a chance to breathe and work out a few glitches in our system. So that part was the only bonus for us, but it did make us question how long will COVID last and will we get back on our feet again with our business.
The team at False Cape are now relying on South Australians to visit.
Really, the South Australian tourists are probably more profitable for us because they come, they eat and drink and take wine with them in the boot of the car. So the new campaign to welcome back visitors to Kangaroo Island has just been amazing. And winter we've found has been extremely busy and in a way almost made up for the shutdown of COVID. So in a way, COVID has made South Australians come and see their beautiful state. And apparently only 90% of Adelaide people haven't been to Kangaroo Island, so we have a huge market.
So it's kind of strange, isn't it, that in some ways COVID initially was something that was quite daunting in terms of your business, having just opened your cellar door, to then actually creating extra business from local South Australians because they've had to travel at home.
That's correct. And so many visitors that have come here have said, oh, we usually are international, we've been overseas, and so now we're coming and we're prepared to spend the money here. So all businesses on Kangaroo Island have just been inundated with generous South Australians, and they've come and they're loving it over here. Yeah, I think we've opened almost Pandora's box on Kangaroo Island, that locals have seen how wonderful it is here, and they're going to continue to revisit Kangaroo Island because, as the locals know, it's such a wonderful place just to get away from it all, and so much free stuff to do with the beaches and walks and here and fishing, as well as the establishments like our cellar door and eateries around the island that they can sit and eat and drink and enjoy.
Speaking of drinking, would you like to tell us a little bit about what you're growing here?
We planted our Cabernet Sauvignon first, and we've got Merlot, Shiraz, which the Shiraz is probably our most popular wine. It's just so easy drinking, and it's probably the one wine that everybody buys a bottle when they leave the cellar door. Then we have a Rosé, our Sauvignon Blanc. We have a Pinot Grigio, which is probably our most popular white. And then we have a Riesling and a Chardonnay, which is lightly wooded. So that's also been going really well for us.
That's quite a wide variety of grapes to be growing in one location, isn't it?
Yes, so we've got 65 acres that we grow on our property here, which is actually the largest vineyard on Kangaroo Island. So we not only make our grapes into our own wine, but we also sell to other wine labels on the island. So, yeah, it definitely keeps us busy.
While Julie Hellyer might be laden with produce this summer, that won't be the case for honeymakers Brenton and Peter Davis. From the 1 million bees they've located on the firegrounds of Flinders Chase National Park, they only expect to get a couple of hundred kilograms of that yakka honey. So it's going to be a case of first in, best dressed.
Certainly lots of work to be done to get it back to where it was even. Yeah, a lot of queen breeding having to be done. A lot of new equipment has to be built. And there's definitely going to be a shortage of honey for a fair while.